of well-being and shalom to us this morning. And that's something we'll be pursuing through the coming weeks. We're now going to have a Bible reading from Dave and Kath. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. So if you have Bibles, you might like to look at it, although I think the words will appear on the screen.
So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives that pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
Thank you so much. We're a royal
work in our church and through the community centre. That picture had real resonance for me as it was part of the prayers for the Beacon Heath missional community when we started moving in here 8 years ago or so. And the picture from Ezekiel 47 of the trees for healing and the birds coming down for shelter being part of the life of this great big expanse of water flowing through the community. And I believe we've seen some of that already as a church. We have seen how we as a body of people have been a blessing to many and been a place to provide shelter and healing, though I'm in faith there's a whole lot more to come for us. So some of that is going to come through shalom. It's going to come through wholeness, and this whole discipleship series that we're about to embark on is about helping us to grow in our own personal shalom, our collective shalom as a family, and the way we bring shalom to those around us. You know, in 2001, 2002, I moved to Exeter. I came here nearly 20 years ago. That is a scary thought. 20 years ago, I moved here and I started my degree. I was excited, I made some friends, but in the coming months of my first year at university, something was gnawing away inside of me. There was a sadness inside me. Something wasn't right, and it started affecting the way I was relating to other people and how I was approaching my degree. I wonder if that's ever happened to you. You've been in a place where there's great excitement, you're looking forward to something, and yet it somehow feels like the handbrake is on, like you can't quite move forward in the way you expected to. For me, I was carrying fear, anxiety, tiredness, and some emotional baggage after a couple of tricky years with my brother's mental and physical health, as well as some periods of grief where family members died quite unexpectedly. And it hit me hard, and I didn't realize it hit me hard until I'd come out of that situation to university. So in this time, three things helped me move forwards. Firstly, I had insight and prayer from fellow students, some who taught me how I could take that challenge, take those deep feelings inside me and bring them to Jesus. I could take them in prayer to the cross and trust him with what I was feeling and experiencing. Secondly, I accessed the university counselling service and I met with a professional who taught me how to understand my feelings and what I was going through and communicate about them. Out of those two experiences came a greater sense of shalom and what I would still describe now as a critical conversion point in my life, as I realized that God didn't just want me to take a ticket to heaven, he was interested in my here and now. He was interested in the core of my being, how I saw the world and how I saw myself. And out of that transformation came the third part. I was captivated by this new understanding of God, and it took me out into the streets of Exeter to start working with homeless men and women with a bunch of other students, wanting them to know that same hope and peace that I had found. Today and in the coming weeks, I want us to take hold of some important truths that are seen in that time. God wants you, wants us to have shalom, to experience as much wholeness as we possibly can. He wants us to know he has the power to transform our lives, that there are tools out there for us to use that can help us move along in that journey to wholeness. And furthermore, that out of that comes a natural response to bring shalom to others. Thanks, Dave and Kath, for sharing from 1 Peter chapter 2 today. There are four things I want to pick out from that reading. These are four things that give you and us clarity in our identity. If anyone right now is struggling with calling or purpose or a sense of what am I here for, this is a passage that can give you core foundational identity about what your life can be about. This passage says to us, you are to see yourself as someone who is in a circumstance that is a whole lot bigger than you. You are part of a spiritual house of holy people. Your job as being part of that holy people is to declare the praises of God. You're to resist the desires that war against your soul. And you're to live a standout life that brings glory to God. That's part of our core identity as people. Sometimes we like to get deep and meaningful, and there can be a place to say, well, what are my gifts? What are my talents? What am I really about? What am I doing? Actually, that all comes after we first and foremost understand the big picture that we belong to. At the core of this mission, this purpose, this identity in us is an understanding that we, that living healthily and well are not ways to the Lord, but they are the ways of the Lord. Living healthily and well are not the ways to the Lord, but they are the ways of God. They are what come out of our relationship with God. The psychologist Glyn Harrison, a now retired psychologist, Christian from the University of Bristol, said identity is where it starts. Instead of aiming for what's good for me, we are called to aim for what's good for his kingdom and for his glory. It's not about you. Maybe that hurts a little, but it's actually the most liberating thing we can know. This is God's big story. And as we remodel the plot line of our lives around its beckoning destiny, we discover the liberation the freedom of self-forgetfulness. We've just had a conversation on our sofa just with Peter. I'm downstairs. I'm upstairs now. I've been downstairs with the kids. What's cornerstone mean? Cornerstone is about the stone, the part of the building that caused everything else to line up. And what this, what Glyn Harrison is saying is your life will line up as you think beyond yourself and consider yourself part of a bigger story rather than trying to think everything is about you. In the midst of it, it's important to understand what this you-ness is then. Who is it, what is that we're talking about that is caught up in such a big story? I've used this picture before in the Blessed Are the Pure in Heart talk a little while back in July, and I think it's still helpful now. When we talk about our identity, we're talking about our will, we're talking about our body, and we're talking about our mind, all caught up and in theory coming together around God. That is where we find shalom, when everything about our being, what's physical, what's in our mind, and what's in our will, all come together like that cord of three strands, all being knotted together. When sin gets in, when there's disruption, that's when things start to come apart. But also what can happen is where one part starts getting affected, where your shalom is disturbed in one area, it can start disturbing other areas of your life. So when your body is disrupted, it's possible that that can then start affecting your mind or your will, and so on with other aspects. So there is a wholeness to you that is more than the sum of the parts, and each part affects the other. So sometimes we can walk with a limp, and sometimes you walk with a limp because that's a physical limp. There's something not quite right in your leg or your body which causes you to walk with a limp. But actually you can walk with a limp when there's something not right inside you, because you're not dealing with something from your life, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe longer. And it affects the way you live. And you might say you're walking with a limp because there's something disrupting your shalom, that togetherness inside you. So let's take a moment right now to start thinking about what do we mean by wellness and shalom, and what does a shalom lifestyle look like? Can I invite you to consider, please, and to type in the chat now, just for a minute, what does shalom look like in people around you? What would you say you see in others that you would say, now that person looks whole, that person looks like they are exercising shalom, or that community? Great, not appearing stressed. Thanks, Chris. Yes. The person I've been reading about, Dallas Willard, never appeared stressed, always turned up at a meeting when he was ready. And people say never hurried people in conversation. Calmness from Jan Piarks, feeling calm in difficult situations from the Cummings family. Simple, I guess, simplicity from Carl Straw. Julia, absolutely a model of shalom. Sometimes I can disturb Julia's shalom in the office. Lynn Wilmot, contentness with your lot. In contact with God, thanks Ellie. Comfortable in your own skin. Contentment. These are all really good things. Patience. So we see it around us, don't we? I think it's important to note, thank you all for those contributions, that there are competing ideas of what shalom and wellness looks like right now. John Ortberg says this. The advertisements we watch, the conversations we hold, the criteria by which we are judged, and the entertainment we consume all inflame our desire to change our situation, while God wants to redeem our souls. Whilst we might have ideas of what shalom and wholeness mean? We are living in a culture and a country where there are competing ideas for what shalom and wholeness mean. There are people and ideas that are different to the Christian narrative. Some that say you don't need any reference to God in order to be a whole person. I've got three challenges for you today and for the week ahead. I'd like to set one now before we head into a song and some worship led by Mark and Gemma. My first challenge is this. Can you be attentive? Can you be aware and listen to the narratives, the stories around you this week, which are telling you what wholeness and wellness is meant to be like? Can you have a look around in your workplace, on the TV programs you watch, in the news, on the messages you get at school? Can you hear that and think, what is this telling me that I'm meant to think about wholeness? I think it can be helpful to be aware of other people's ideas of wholeness as we try and consider what Jesus says has to say about wholeness. So we're going to take a pause now, and I'll just pray, and then Mark and Gemma are going to lead us. Lord, I thank you that you desire wholeness for us. I thank you that you have a big story that you want us to be a part of. I want to thank you, Lord, that as we consider shalom, this is actually not about us. This is about you and us being caught up in your story. Lord, I pray you'd be speaking to us about how we can grow in shalom with you. And I pray now, as we come to worship you and sing praises to you, Lord, would you be speaking to our hearts and stirring our hearts as to how we can grow in closeness to you. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Trusting you can hear us well enough. Just to follow on from what Rich is saying, we're going to sing a couple of songs to get our eyes onto God and off ourselves. And a couple of psalms that will be good inspiration.
So, for some of us, I really am in faith that this, for a lot of us actually, this series and season on shalom is going to be an opportunity for us to step out from the practice of the odd spontaneous encounter with God and move us into new rhythms of life with him. We want this to be an opportunity for you to grow in the depth of your relationship with God. See, I think there are many challenges that have come through this pandemic and lockdown season, aren't there? We have all been rocked by it. But actually, I believe there is some good that can come in that there is now a chance for us all to be revisiting what our walk with Jesus looks like and check and see what are the healthy practices I'm taking with me now to pursue relationship with Christ. This shaking has the opportunity to mold us and help us grow more like him. See, I think there is a risk that we can get into certain patterns of the way we do life that lead us just to come into weekly flashpoints. Just see that you can just have a weekly flashpoint. You can turn up at a Sunday meeting, meet up with somebody, say a few hellos to people, say your thing, meet up with people. Hey, how's it going? I'm turning up for this meeting. Everything's fine. Everything's going okay. And then, it's gone out again. Never mind. I'm going to leave that for now. And then I can light up the next time I'm with that next person. I'll meet up the next time I'm with them, the next time I gather with them, the next time I turn up at that event or that activity. And then it goes again. I think what God is interested in is he wants to see us live a life of wholeness. He wants to see us have a steady life. There we go. a life of steady and whole interaction with us. He's interested in the whole of life. He wants something that's steady and lasting, full of light. He's interested in the daily patterns of our lives. So I invite you now, some of us might already have been thinking about this. I know in our household, we've already been thinking about this. What goes into someone's life that brings them that daily and steady encounter with God? So if you want, maybe share your pictures if you've been annotating your people, or if you'd like to share in the chat, what have you been doing in this time, and what do you know is wise in the way of maintaining constant relationship with God, constant time with him beyond just the periodic sparks? Who wants to contribute anything? Have you got something? Okay, so we've got some things on the screen here. If you unmute, would you like to explain?
Hello. Yes. So we've got bonus people in our house today because we have got William and Juliet Foster with us. So all together, the children have come up with all this stuff. Is that the right way round?
Yeah, it is, but it's a little unclear. So talk us through it.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. So we've got a person who is full of shalom is relaxed and not stressed. They don't have anxiety. They make good choices. They have friends, they relate well with others, they talk to God, they are loving people, they eat well, they drink water, that's not me then, they're peacemakers, they feel calm in difficult situations, they are all about reconciliation, they work together, they do teamwork, and they're a peacemaker and spiritual health. We've put on there. They're spiritually healthy.
Thank you very much. Anybody else got anything to show? Ah, shalom. Here we go then. Great. So I'm seeing a lovely peace there, and I'm seeing family and rest and forgiveness and trust around one. That's fantastic. Would anybody else like to explain then, Alfords? Oh, that's terrific. And then from the Webbers. Far away, John.
Go on,
I did fruit and vegetables, love, care, and also chocolate, hugs, glasses, brain. And water.
Anna started out on a very food theme, thinking literally what needs to go into my body to make me happy. So we've got vegetables and then chocolate. And then she moved on to the love and hugs and the more, you know, inedible.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you very much. That is terrific. What great things have been there. So that's really interesting. Richmond asks, can he have a chocolate hug? Quick, someone, whoever's near Richmond, go and give him a chocolate hug. They're really interesting, aren't they? Because they cross boundaries. We showed that picture earlier about body, mind, and will. Some of those suggestions about how to live well, they cross boundaries, don't they? They're not all about spiritual practice like prayer and worship and talking to God. They're also about how you're eating, whether you're getting enough water in your body, whether you're exercising. Then we had some really helpful things from the Alfords there, didn't we? We had suggestions of trusting God. We had forgiveness. How many of us can get unwell because there is unforgiveness inside us? And how about rest? I love that in our family we have chosen Sabbath on a Saturday. And every Saturday we say we're about rest and family and time with God. So I think it's important that we understand for some of us then that there are practices that we follow that we need to shift up and change, but sometimes that can be hard for us to do, and we tend to park the kind of well-being thing and say, well, that's not for me because it's down to super kind of super spirituality. I'd like to suggest that to some of us, we approach shalom and pursuing wholeness a bit like somebody who's offered a whole range of cars from a car enthusiast, and they say, I'm giving you unlimited access to my whole range, and you say, I'll stick to my old faithful because it's comfortable to me. Imagine somebody saying to you, I will give you a car for any circumstance. I will give you the capacity to explore all these things around them in all sorts of different ways with different passengers. I will give you all you need, but I'll give you your old car as a backup because I know it's comfortable and keeps you happy. Tom Wright says, forget happiness. You are called to a throne. Forget happiness, you're called to a throne. How will you prepare for it? So we can, the encouragement to us, the challenge is to, and I would put this to us all, we're encouraged to keep on pressing into the throne, the godly life that God has called us to. He has called us to a future in ruling over creation with Christ. You have the invitation to live and breathe the life that he has given you. So you're going to pursue that like the car dealer offering you a range of cars, or are you going to say, well, no, I'm secure in my future. I'm aware it's there, but I'm comfortable with my current life. I'm comfortable with where I'm at. So in the coming weeks, we're going to have lots of opportunities to explore what practices we can pursue that bring us to wholeness. Tom Wright says there, how will you prepare for that future? You can prepare now. That preparation is through the cross. See, I love all the science that's out there. I'm really interested right now in professional services and things that teach us about chemicals, about biology, our DNA, but they can't tell us everything that there is to know. Wholeness has to come through Jesus, and that includes through the cross, where there is a place of suffering and loss and disappointment, and there is room for that in our pursuit of wholeness. So lastly, as we come to a close, let me invite you on the next challenge. We have one challenge, be attentive to the messages around you. Second challenge, can I invite you to be thinking of, are there any of those practices that our young people have just suggested to us about diet, about forgiveness, about trust, how much water you drink, about your prayer life? Is there anything this week you need to pick up that might bring you to a greater place of wholeness next week than you've experienced in the past week? Now, lastly, then, we talked about this life of wholeness. And the good news for us is that actually it spills out. So the individual Christian and the church as a whole must develop the subtle habits of looking out for what's going on in the surrounding world, rejoicing with its joy, weeping with its grief, and above all, eager for opportunities to bring love, comfort, healing, and hope wherever possible. The great news is that life of shalom that we are with, that we are enjoying, that life gets to be shared. We get to share that shalom with others. And I share it with this one. Oh, and it's gone out. We'll try one more time. I don't want another egg incident. My wick is a bit too short. Well, you get my meaning. I managed to. This is a picture for us. This is a picture of us, that this life of shalom that we're pursuing is one that can be shared with others. It's a love and a shalom that spills out. So I'd like you now, in this last challenge for the week, so pop that down carefully, don't set my house on fire. I'd like to share one further challenge with you. Who can you be sharing shalom with this week? Who can you bring shalom to this week? So shall we pray and take a moment to pause and allow God to speak to us? Lord, I thank you for your love and your desire to see us enjoy shalom, enjoy peace and wholeness. Today, as we embark on a new discipleship series, as we think about this topic and what it means for us to be whole, would you be guiding our steps this week? Would you help us to be alert to the messages of wholeness around us? Would you guide us into what we can do this week that might bring us to a greater place of shalom? And would you be showing us just at least one person that we can bless and bring shalom to in the coming week? We give you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris.
Thank you very much, Rich. That's a feast for us. Do you see what I've done with my screen? I wanted you all there. So I've put you behind us there. So thank you for that. And of course, we can download the talk.